welcome. I'm glad you're here today. It's I tell you, it's a nice day outside, so you know, having you here in the church is wonderful, because I know we'd probably want to be out there working in the yard or something, right? Going skiing, maybe. No, the water's too cold for that, or cookout or something. But hey, it's good to have you here. Is this thing ringing on us here? Oh, you got it back there? Is this? Okay, let's fix this. All right, how's that? That better? Oh, awesome. Well, before we begin the message today, I just want to tell you, I'm happy. Amen. Right? I am so happy today. Mike, I'm happy. Because I went to bed last night, I was war slap out, as we say down south. Because sometimes our weeks just really catch up with us. You know, and Uncle Sam and the Air Force, they like to really work you really, really hard. And this was my drill week. They had us a whole week. They made me run and do sit-ups and push-ups, and that was horrible. It's terrible. I didn't do real well. I suffered. But I want you to know, when I woke up this morning, I was so much joy in my heart. Because, you know, I stand up here and I bring a message, I give a talk, I preach the truth of God's word as God speaks to me. And, you know, I started listening to what I was saying, began to apply what I'm preaching to my life. And it's amazing what God does when you actually start living out what his word says do, isn't it? And I am so excited. I just want to let you know, because as your pastor, I want to be a little transparent with you, let you know that sometimes, you know, the world can weigh heavy on our shoulders. And sometimes we see a valley. We just got to get down in the valley and come up on the other side, right? How many of you gone through some valleys? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. God is with us. And as we talk about the supernatural, today we're going to talk about, do miracles still happen? I'm going to ask the question, right? Do miracles still happen? We're going to answer that question, because I believe, right, that God, and I'm jumping ahead of myself, but God wants to invade your life. What does that mean? God doesn't sit over in a corner somewhere in our life and say, okay, if you need me, I'm over here. That's not his desire. God wants to invade the very fabric of who we are. And sometimes we don't let him do that. And when we don't, we end up walking down these roads and these pathways, and the pressures of the world get upon us. Then we got to go back into God's word. Let God invade your life, because that's what he wants to do. Amen. All right. I got that off my chest this morning. Amen. So here's my question, right, as we see up here. Do miracles still happen? We're talking on the subject of the supernatural. We talked about healing. Do we believe that Jesus still heals today? Yes, he does. Well, what should I do? Are there certain things that I can do in my life? And with the focus of that, the whole point of that particular message was, we've got to keep our focus upon Christ, our focus upon God. Because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We keep saying that over and over and over. He will do whatever he can to distract you, to bring disunity and pull you away, so your focus is not upon God, your focus is upon all your circumstances. And when you put your focus on your circumstances, there's not a lot of room for God. Right? When we put our focus on our circumstances and everything we're going through at the moment, there is God sitting over in the corner somewhere. He wants to invade our life. And we talked about faith. And the idea of faith was that we've got, again, it was keeping our focus upon God. We talked about how much faith is enough. We looked there and says, you know, Jesus many times throughout the scripture says, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. If someone tells you, if you're believing in something, someone tells you, oh, you don't have enough faith. You're not believing enough. Your faith is not strong enough. Well, who determines how much faith you need? The person telling you that? No. Because Jesus says, if you have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, that's small. I mean, that is little, right, Kevin? Right? The gardener, that's small. If you've got that much faith, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and be cast into the sea, and it shall come to pass. Again, our focus needs to be not on our circumstances. Our focus needs to be on God. Well, I just messed all my notes up, but that's okay, right? We'll let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do today. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 14. We're actually going to end with this verse today, John chapter 14, because in asking the question, do miracles still happen? Jesus was very clear in what He says in John chapter 14. But I want to begin with this as we talk about miracles. Right, because I think sometimes we say, "Oh, miracles, miracles." We get a little mystified, right? I'm not sure what that means. You know, I have never seen one. I think people make stuff up. What's this idea about miracles? Let me give you a quote. Albert Einstein. Everyone know who Albert Einstein is? Genius, scientist, right? Turn of the century, great, great, great mind. He makes this quote. He says, "There are only two ways to live your life. One way is if nothing is a miracle." The other way is that everything is a miracle. Now, as he got older, and if you read some of Albert Einstein's writings, you'll see as he gets older, right, his belief in science began to prove in his heart that there was a God. Because the more that we look at science in our world today, the more we dig deeper into the whole science world, we can begin to see the fingerprint of God in everything. His handprint, His fingerprint is on everything. So as followers of Christ, right, how can we read the Bible, right, and not understand miracles? Because the Bible is full of miracles. Let me just list a few of them for you, right? The parting of the Red Sea. Was that a miracle? What if you were standing there and saw the sea part? What would you think? Oh, God's invading my life right now, isn't He? Daniel thrown into the den of lions and not eaten, came out without a scratch on him. Was that a miracle? Absolutely, that was a miracle. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did not bow. We will not bow to your idol. We bow our knees only to the God of our fathers, the true and the living God. And out of anger, they were thrown into this furnace. It was so hot that the guards who were there by the door of the furnace, it killed them. But guess what happened? Jesus showed up. That's what I believe. That's Pastor Shannon's version. Jesus was right there with them. Right? They woke up the next what day? Did they smell like smoke? No. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Well, I didn't smell it, but that's what I want to believe. How about this one? An axe head floating. Right? How many ever lost a fishing tackle down in the water? Right? You fishermen. That's sad. Those things are expensive. Right? So how about an axe head floating? Here's another one. How about people being raised from the dead? The Bible is full of those being raised from the dead. People being healed. Or even the sun standing still while the battle was progressing. So the Bible, as we know it, is a miraculous book. The entire fabric of our faith depends on miracles. Do you believe that? Well, I'm not sure. Can you prove that to me, Pastor? Well, let's do this then. Let's take a look. The three other major religions in our world are Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. And each one of those have this idea, this ideal that there are miracles or miraculous things that happen within these religions. But guess what? If you go and you remove the idea, that teaching, that aspect of the miraculous from their teachings, guess what happens? Their teaching continues. It doesn't change because their teaching is based on a set of rules. But if you take the miraculous out of Christianity, guess what happens? Falls apart. Oh, you're quiet there this morning. Not real sure? Let me explain it. The virgin birth, is that a miracle? Yes. The incarnation, is that a miracle? Absolutely. Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Is that not a miracle? Take those away and what do we have? Another set of rules. But we know that our book, the Bible, is filled with miracles and you can't take those away. And the idea of the miraculous is center. It is core to our belief system as Christians. So as you know what I like to do, I like to ask questions. I'm curious. I like to ask questions and see if we can't come up with an answer. I don't always have all the answers. How many of you have all the answers? All right, I was making sure. If you raise your hand, I was going to have you come up here with me because I need to ask you a few questions. some deep theological questions here. But let me give you the definition of miraculous, of miracles. And I've already said it, I kind of jumped ahead of myself, right? Because I believe sometimes this idea of the miraculous and the way we have placed it in our minds and in our life and in our world can be a little overwhelming. But here's the definition. This is Pastor Shannon's definition of a miracle, because this is what I want to live. This is how I want to live my life in the supernatural with my Father serving Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit. Miracles means it's the divine invasion into human affairs. Right? In other words, God wanting to invade our life. I didn't say an interaction. I didn't say an involvement. I didn't say a connection. I said an invasion. An invasion into our affairs, an invasion into our life. Because I believe sometimes we forget that there is a violent side of the gospel. What does that mean? Well, we know these scriptures, the gates of hell will not prevail. Have you heard that one before? That's not just sitting back in a corner somewhere. It says that the violent take it by force. That's that invasion of God into our affairs, invasion of God into our life. God doesn't come into our world, as I said before, to sit over here in the corner somewhere. He wants to be invading into your affairs, into your life. He wants to take over. He wants to invade us. In other words, let me use this word because people have a little bit of trouble with this word. He wants to be in control. He wants to control what's going on in our life. He wants us to allow Him to invade us so He can control, guide, lead our steps. How? By His Word. It's the divine invasion into human affairs. So we're going to ask some big questions this morning. I've got some questions I want answered. So I figured I'd try to look it up and figure if I can come up with some answers according to God's Word. So if we believe in miracles, right? If miracles are part of the fabric of our Christianity, the fabric of our faith, if the Word of God that is the living Word inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by God Himself, if the miracles are in this Bible, if it's woven through the Scriptures and in our lives, then here's the question. What is the purpose of miracles? What was the purpose of the miraculous? Because the Bible is full of them. How many of you do you believe this? Let me ask a question before we continue. How many of you believe miracles still happen today? Keep your hand up, look around. I believe that too. You can put your hand down now. Here's another question. When's the last time a miracle has happened in your life? So if the definition for me, Shannon Kanoi, is that miracles is a divine invasion of God in my life and in my affairs, when's the last time that God has done something miraculous in my life? When is the last time that God has done something? When have I been able to last let Him take control? Because I remember as a kid. Because I think sometimes, right, we can talk about stories, but I think sometimes our stories are old and too few. And the stories of the miraculous in our life need to be recent, current, and many. And that's my conviction. Right? Because I remember as a young boy traveling with the Kanoi family. We would travel all over the southern part of the United States. My father, as he left the Baptist church, well, he was asked to leave the Baptist church, the Southern Baptist church, because of his conviction of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit operating in the world today. We're going to address that much later this month in this series. He was asked to leave the church. So he prayed, Lord, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do. And the Lord says, you know what? The Lord says, you go. I will open the doors. You walk through the doors. He says, and I will use you to do great things. And so we did. We traveled and we played. Our whole family played musical instruments and sang. And so I remember playing the bass guitar up there, playing and watching, right? Yeah, boo, dude, singing those old songs, right? I call them the Green Book songs, right? This is the day. Come on. This is the day that the Lord has made. All right. I will rejoice. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. All right. So you remember the day. But I would watch as He would stand and He would preach the word. And then he'd always say, if anyone needs to be healed, if you need something miraculous in your life, you come and I will pray for you. And people would come down and I watched miracles happen. I watched his withered hands became straight. I've seen it. I saw him get up out of wheelchairs and run around and people, I mean, it's crazy. Miracles were happening. I haven't seen them in a while. Now let me say this though, when God moves, we move with him. I know that here at Life Church, God has done some miracles. And I'm going to share a little bit later, God's doing another miracle. Because not only does God want to invade our life, not only does he want to invade your life personally, he wants to invade the life of this church. And I will not stand in the way and not allow God to have his way and invade the very fabric of who we are. And we move when God says move and we stop when God says stop. And I pray, Lord, keep my heart softened as I listen to you. Lord, continue to speak to me and surround myself with wisdom. The Bible says there's wisdom in the counsel of many. So as we move forward, God, we're following you, not some idea that I have. Because I've got some bad ideas. They're pretty bad. But I wonder if we should have more current stories. Here's a word. I was driving back late yesterday evening with the chaplain. He's the wing chaplain for the 104th Fighter Wing. We're driving back and we're just kind of bouncing. He's a pastor too. We're bouncing ideas off of each other. I love driving with him. He does a whole lot more talking than I do, so I'll make sure he listens to this message because he'll agree. He was actually here. I mean, you remember him being here on our launch Sunday. He sat over here with his family. He's one of my mentors. He's a godly man. He's one of those men that speaks to my life. He's one of those men that can come to me and tell me no. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to chase a rabbit for a second. Who do you have in your life that can tell you no? Who do you have in your life that when you go to them with a situation and they pray with you, they can actually tell you no? And you'll be okay with it. But we're bouncing ideas off of each other. We're talking about, I'm trying to preach my sermon to him. He's preaching his to me and you know, we got the windows down. We're having a great time. Then he said, don't say that word now. Don't say that word. I said, what word? Sir, what word? He said, normal. But I thought about it for a second. Shouldn't that be our normal life? Shouldn't it be normal that God is invading the very fabric of who we are? That we're able to go before him and worship him and pray with the great faith that we talked about. And all of a sudden God does miracles in our life. Shouldn't that be how we wake up every morning? But I think we've kind of backed away. I want to challenge us today. Here's a challenge. We ask the questions and then we bring the challenge. Here's the challenge. I want you for the next 7 days to pray. I want you to pray with me when you wake up in the morning. I want you to pray this prayer. Father, today would you come and invade my life? Would you invade my thoughts? Would you invade my plans? Do you know something? That God's plans are way much better than ours. Right? A man plans in his heart, right? We plan in our heart, right? But it says that God directs our path. So what that means is that we have desires and visions and ideas that are planted in there, right? And they begin to dwell and live. And how do we bring that to fruition? How do we move forward? We allow God to direct our path. So I want to challenge you, right, to pray that prayer. You know, what if we gave God the permission, right, to do something, right, that we haven't thought of yet? That would be a miracle for me. My mind goes to sleep sometimes. I don't know about yours, but I can be sitting there talking to Maria and all of a sudden my mind goes, whoop, it's done. Falls asleep. Steve, how about yours, right? Yeah, yours too. Most guys have that switch. We don't know what controls it, but men, right? Right? And your wife gets mad because you're not listening, right? Sometimes that thing shuts down. Trying to help you out, guys. I'm trying to help you here. Maybe God has better plans than we do. Now, I know I'm asking something pretty bold here. So if miracles happen to us, then what's the purpose of miracles? Let's look at God's word this morning for the next few minutes. John chapter 2, verse 23, the primary purpose of miracles, I believe the primary purpose is to do what we talked about last week, to help produce faith in us. Miracles help produce a boldness that we have not had before. How many of you need some boldness and faith? Right? You got a job interview coming up? Let God invade your life. Let Him invade you. That was a plug, by the way. John 2:23 says, "Now when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in His name when," right, "when they saw the signs," or the works, some translations say, "or the miracles that He was doing." See, oftentimes Jesus would stand before the crowds and He would teach, right? He was the greatest teacher of all time. He would stand and teach profound truths and mysteries about the kingdom of heaven. But that's not all He did. And then what happens is miracles would happen. He would begin to pray and lay hands and miracles would happen. People were set free. People were healed. And this is why I think that happened. So when I read this passage of scripture, I believe this. I believe the gospel is always, it's always meant to be seen and heard. Right? Seen and heard. If you think about our church today here in America, here in this country, listen, we've become some very polished speakers. We have got some great orators out there. I mean, there are some men and women and people in our Christian community that can stand before the congregation and they can preach a message, they can teach. And I mean, it is polished, it is great. We do not lack great preachers, great speakers. I'm not one of them yet. I'm working on it. Trying to get this country out of me. It'll never leave. But we have some great teachers, some great preachers. They've honed their craft to perfection. They're able to teach and explain and tell stories very, very well. And think about the books. How many books do we have out there? Book after book after book on every subject, every book of the Bible, everything you can think of, there's a book that's been written. We don't have a lack of information on the earth today. In other words, if you read a book a day, every day, you could not in your lifetime read all the books that are out there. So we don't have a lack of information about God, about Jesus, about the church. In other words, and I like to use this word because I don't use it too often, we've got a plethora. I like the way that rolled out there, a plethora of information. The gospel is being heard and broadcast. But my question is, and I wonder if the gospel is being seen by people serving, by people praying, by God invading our life and the miraculous happening. And Jesus was a great teacher. But many times He would perform the miracles. Remember the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew? This long sermon, what a great sermon. Unbelievable content. Brilliant teaching. And what happened afterwards? There were miracles. So not only did He teach, but He demonstrated. Do you grab that today? Have you grabbed a hold of that idea? Seen and heard. John 6, chapter 14, is when the people saw the sign that He had done, or the miracles, or the works that He had done. They said, "This indeed is indeed the prophet who is to come to the world." See, Jesus had already told them now. He'd already told them who He was. He told them. And He'd been performing miracles. He says, but when they saw the sign, He says, they needed the miracles, right, to produce faith that allowed them to believe. John 12:37, though He had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe. So here there were people who didn't believe even though they saw the miracles. Let me give you another example here. Right? In Luke chapter 22, we read the story and hear the story of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So here He is. He's gone to pray. He's taken several disciples there with Him, asked them to pray. And we know that Judas came with the temple guards and they came to arrest Him. And what happened? What was the violence that was going on at that moment, right? One of the disciples got angry, pulled out a sword, and Malchus got his ear cut off. What did Jesus do? He said, wait, no, put your sword away. And then He reached down wherever that ear was, right? But He did a miracle. He didn't stitch it back on and put a big bandage that came across around the chin, you know, wrapped across the top with a little thing you turned. No, He didn't do that, right? It was a miracle. Did they still arrest Him? Yes. So here's a question today. Is pursuing God and pursuing miracles the same thing? Could be. Should be. But it's not always. Oftentimes people are chasing more after miracles than they are after Christ. Again, our focus, where is it at? Where does our focus end up? You know, Jesus confronted this idea because, you know, he saw it. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he says this. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Notice what he says here. He says, "If you love me, you will obey me." That's what he's saying. I'm not just talking about God. I'm talking about knowing God. Not just coming to church and speaking our Christianese language. He's saying if you haven't surrendered your heart, then you're not a follower of Christ. So the idea of knowing this stuff is not enough. Obeying Jesus and what he said is the proof that you are a follower of Jesus. So, Pastor, I don't like that word, obey. An obedient heart is what he wants from us. He wants us to be obedient to his word. And on that day, verse 22, what day? The final judgment day. He says, on that day, he says, many. When I read that word many, it breaks my heart. Because he's not talking about those, right, who don't proclaim to know him. He's talking about those who say, "Lord, Lord." No, he's talking about those who have claimed and proclaimed that they know him. And the word here is many. I don't want to be part of that many. But he says, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? He says, did we not cast out demons in your name and do mighty works or miracles or signs in your name?" And then I would declare to them these most painful words, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness or evilness." See, the people are making a claim in front of God. This is going to happen one day. This is going to happen. These are the words of Jesus. They said, "We cast out demons. We did the miracles in your name." So here we can be left with these two theological ideas. It is this. The one is that they did do miracles. They were legitimate miracles. The question is, do you think God answers the prayers of those who don't follow him? Yeah, he does. How many people along the side of the road that cried out, right? They weren't a follower of Christ, but he did heal them. He did do the miracles. Why? Why do you think he did that? Because he wanted to draw them in. The miracles would help produce the faith. He wanted to invade their life. And Jesus would do that, but they had the choice. It was their choice to follow. Here's the second idea is, what they did and what they were calling miracles weren't miracles at all. False miracles. They claimed that they were, but they probably weren't. There's those two ideas. You can choose which idea you think is the best or you want to believe. But there are two choices. Either way, there will be a group of people one day who will stand before the Lord at the end who have been pursuing miracles, but they're not pursuing God. Matthew 24 says this, and here's why. Matthew 24:24 says, "For false Christ and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and great wonders as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." Right? He's not talking about politicians here. He's talking about you and me, right? Elect. They're already gone astray. Amen? No, I'm just joking, right? Y'all got to get with me now. Right? Politicians, elect. All right. You'll get it. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He says, "See, I've told you beforehand." So what he's saying is that everything that is a miracle doesn't always have its origin or its genesis from God. Because the enemy of this world will try to do the same thing. And I'm not saying, right, we need to respect the enemy of this world. I didn't say fear him. We don't have to fear Satan. We don't have to fear the enemy. But if you know he's strategically coming to destroy your life, there better be a sense of respect. Enough respect that you're going to prepare yourself, right, as David did, and run to the fight. We don't fear him, we respect him. Because the Bible says here that those false prophets want to draw people away. So here's the question. The biggest question is, because, right, not everything that glitters is gold, not everything that's loud is from God, not everything that is exciting is from God, not everything that appears miraculous is from God. So do miracles still happen today? Right? So we're going to, that text I told you to turn to, as we bring it to a conclusion here, right? I want you to turn there. John chapter 14. Okay, so Jesus answers this question. He leaves no doubt in this question, do miracles happen today, when he answers the question. He says something very profound. Of all the Gospels, right, of all the four Gospels we have, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John catches something here as he writes this story. Because this particular passage and story is found in all four Gospels. But see, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic Gospels, when they mention this passage, right, they mention this word, right? When you hear the word power, or you hear works, or you hear the word miracles or signs, it is from the Greek word dunamis. That's your Greek lesson for today. Say it. Say dunamis. Dunamis. Which means power released from us. That's the Greek translation. Power released from us. However, when John writes this, he uses a different word. A word that takes a much higher level for us. So here we are, the disciples are still wrestling. They believe now, they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, but they're still wrestling. They still haven't quite said yes. They still haven't quite figured it out. And they're beginning to ask these questions, right? And in verse 11 it says, Jesus says, he says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else believe on the account of the works or the miracles themselves. So what he's saying is, he says, believe this. He says, believe that me and the Father and I are one. We're in relationship. But if you don't believe that, at least look at the miracles that you've seen. Look at the miraculous. Is that not enough proof for your faith to believe that I am the Messiah? Then he says this, truly, truly, I say to you, and as I've said before many times, when you hear the words, truly, truly, or I tell you the truth, underline what he says next. Because every time Jesus makes this statement, he's about to say something, right, that is profound and needs to invade your life. It will set you free. It will give you freedom when you apply it to your life. This is what he says. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. That's pretty awesome. Now listen. There are denominations that are out in our world today, and I say this with respect, to believe that miracles stop happening at the end of the apostolic age. They believe that miracles are no longer necessary to authenticate the gospel. That, hey, we have the written words, the written gospel that points us to Jesus, and the miracles are no longer necessary. I do believe that the scriptures point us to Jesus. Do you believe that? They do. The scriptures point us to Jesus, the Messiah. But I don't believe that miracles stop because of what Jesus just said. So he uses these words, right? My faith, I believe. Because he says, and greater works will you do than these. Greater works than these will you do. Right? Of all the passages in the New Testament, I think this one here, we have the hardest time with. I don't think we believe it. I think we look at that and something happens on the inside of us. Like, nah, I don't think so. That doesn't happen today. Miracles don't happen today. The miraculous doesn't happen. But what Jesus says, he will do. He says, in me also will do. He will. That's a future word. That's now in the future. That was not just for then. This is for you. This is for me. We are the carriers of God's presence. And here's the word that John uses. See, Matthew, Mark, and Luke use the word dunamis, means that the power is working from us. But John uses the word erga. And here's what erga means. In the Greek, erga means what you do reveals who you are. And at the core, we are miraculous people. Because here's why. Because you and I are in Christ. And Christ is in us. It's who we are. We are carriers of God's presence. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We are the carriers of the miraculous. Do you believe that? I need you to shout amen so I know you're still with me. All right. So John is saying, he says that it's not some force that comes in and leaves. It's who you are. It's not something that comes and goes. It's who you are in Christ. Greater things shall you do than I. So whenever you find yourself this week, be assured that God is there with you. And there's a possibility of the miraculous happening in your life. And this is how the early church lived. This is how they lived. The early church believed this. But I don't think the 21st century church believes it that much anymore. Because we've lost our identity. See, the enemy has talked us out of who we are. We stop believing that Christ is in us and we are in Christ. That our identity has been secured in Him. And our identity gets wrapped up in everything around us. I know what happens because I've wrestled with it. You pray for someone. They don't get healed. Right? They die. And I end up doing their funeral. And somehow in my mind, I begin to wrestle with my identity. Jesus tells us who we are today. He says the word erga. Jesus wants to, and God wants to invade our life. When I think I should quit, let me tell you this story before I say that, and I'll share the vision. Let me give you an example. Right, we got a bunch of kids running around here. I've watched them. Some are kind of laying on their back. Others are just sitting there at that age. Some are running. Some are just learning to walk. But you who are parents, right? Baby's born. They lay in there. They're so cute. They're precious, right? They smell good most of the time. Sometimes not so much. Some of you are shouting, yes, amen. Some of you daddies out there, amen. What happens? They raise their head up. Remember that? They start raising their head up. Oh, yeah. They raise it. Oh, look, look, look. He's raising his head up. Ooh, he's raising his head up. The next thing you know, he's turned over on this way. He's got his butt up in the air. You know. Then he gets up on all fours. Then she starts crawling across the floor. And you're so excited. And all of a sudden, poop, pow, they fall. Oh, you run over, you grab them. Oh, you okay, you're okay. A little bruise on the side of their head. Then they get the courage again. They reach over. And they're up on their knees. I used to stand on their knees and sit around, right? And they reach up and they grab that coffee table, that couch. They pull themselves up. And you're excited. You got the phone. Your camera's out there. Take the picture. Take the picture. Right? This is awesome. And then they take that step. I remember the days. The mama's standing there like this. Dad's like, yeah, it'll be all right. Let them go there. They got to learn, right? Take a step. And all of a sudden, boom! They fall down. They bust their head. But guess what? We don't say this. We don't go, well, you know what? No, they're not going to walk. They're not going to walk. Nope, nope, nope. They just fell and busted their head. I don't understand why that. Why didn't they just come out of the womb walking? Why weren't they born running around and doing what I tell them to do? No, we don't say that. We watch them fall. They get up, right? And we know without a shadow of a fact, right? We know, a doubt, I mean, that they're going to walk. Why? It's in their DNA. It's who they are. Even though they have fallen down and busted their head, we know with faith that they're going to walk. They're going to run. Because that's who they are. They're humans created by God, and that's what they do. Why isn't our faith in Christ the same way? Because we do fall. We fall down. We bump our head. And all of a sudden we say, well, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not praying for anybody anymore. I'm not believing in miracles anymore because I fell and busted my head. No. Get up. Keep praying. It's in your DNA. It's who you are. You're in Christ. So do miracles still happen? Yes, they do. What we have to do, though, Pastor, what do I do then? Let God invade your life. Let Him invade your thoughts. Let Him be in control. Listen when He speaks. Follow when He says go. And we'll watch the miraculous happen. Not only in our life, Jonathan, you can come. Not only in our life, but as a church. Because I believe that as a church, miracles are going to happen. All right, Pastor, what's this vision you've been talking about? How does it work with our sermon today? Well, let me share with you what's going on. Because we just received a miracle. Right? Hold on now. You don't even know what I'm going to say. Right? Let me say it first. Our time here in this school is coming to an end. It's been very clear. Our situation has changed. You know, God opens doors and God closes doors. A door has been closed here. It wasn't come up to us and says, hey, you know what? We're not going to let you use the school anymore. No, they didn't do that. And I appreciate this high school. I appreciate everything they've done. You know, this school needs money. They've fallen short on their budget. You need to pray. You need to let God invade your thoughts and pray. Because we were here for a reason. We have created relationships here. We know some of these folks personally. And I want you to pray for them every day. As I ask you to wake up in the morning and say, God, invade my life. And you begin to pray. You worship Him. You begin to pray for this school. You begin to pray for this town. There's great people here. I want to see these kids who come to this school come to know Christ. But through circumstances, the doors have been closed. The financial situation has changed. What we were paying here is no longer. What we have to pay now is almost five times that. Well, with that cost, can't we go out and find a building? We did. We went out and looked. We looked and we looked and we looked and we looked. Every door closed. We went over. You know, you can't meet over here. Oh, no assembly clause. You talk about stress. Have you seen your pastor stressed out a little bit lately? I've been stressed out. Right? You know how stressful it is when I get a phone call on Monday and says, oh, I'm sorry, you can't have church here on this Sunday. You got to relocate. What? It's Monday. We got to find somewhere on Sunday? How do I relocate 100 plus people in a week? God is faithful. He makes a way. So I sat down with some pastors. Then we had someone working with us. I want to just encourage you too now that our compassionate ministry is still pressing forward. Right? We've got several properties we've looked at. We think will work. We'll be grabbing our leadership team to look at those. First Assembly, our mother church, is putting together the constitution and bylaws so that we can actually lease a nonprofit space to do ministry from. We're moving ahead. That's going to keep moving ahead. That's not changing. But in the process of praying for that and praying with these pastors, we got a phone call that says, hey, we got a building that you can use. No cost. So, but you say, okay, Pastor Shannon, what building is it? Well, let me tell you something. There is a building in this town that's been sitting vacant for 2 years. Right? It's a church building. Nobody's been there. And it's dying. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring life back to that building. We're going to bring life to that community. Well, Pastor, what building is it? Well, some of you may know, you probably went to church there before. It used to be Faith Assembly on Nelson Street, but it's no longer Faith Assembly. That church has done what it's had to do, and their doors closed. 6 months ago, 8 months ago, we could not have done that. It would not have worked for who we are, because sometimes visions get clouded. We had to have a fresh start, a fresh vision. But that building is sitting over there, and it's not being used. We're going to use it. I don't know for how long. This is not our permanent spot. I know that. God's already given me that vision. I know this is not our permanent spot. This is only temporary. Because I know that building is still trying to be sold, and we've sat down with the district that owns that. And let me tell you what, our superintendent, our pastor, Pastor Bob Wise, says, Shannon, go bring life back into that building. Go use that building. You don't have to pay any rent whatsoever. Whatever you want to do, what you need to do inside of that building to get it to work for your needs. If you need to build a wall, tear a wall. If you want to sell the pews, if you want to do this, if you want to paint, if you want new carpet, you do whatever you want to do to make that work for you. And you stay there until God puts you to that next place. So these are those stepping stones. You know those stepping stones that we take in life? Now let me tell you this, right? Let me love on you for a minute. We're not going backwards. Listen to my heart. we're not going backwards. You know why? We only got 6 months of backwards to go to. We're a baby. We're a brand new church. There's nothing to go backwards to. God's given us the vision to see salvation and health brought to the communities and the families of the communities. By what? By being real people with real relationships sharing about the real Jesus. That's who we are. That's our vision. It's going to keep pressing forward. I don't know. You know what I said? I don't have a lot of answers. I don't have a lot of answers. I don't know how long we're going to be there. I don't know. I don't know how long we're going to be here. That's how God works with me. He doesn't give me the whole picture. He doesn't give me all the mystery. He doesn't paint the whole big picture. Because if he did, guess what? I'd stop worshiping him. I'd stop trusting him. I'd stop believing because I thought I'd got it all figured out. I don't have it figured out. We're figuring it out together. We're going to go together. How good and pleasant it is, Psalms 133. When brethren, brothers and sisters, dwell together in unity. It is like the oil poured upon the head, pouring down the beard of Aaron. It is like the dew from Mount Hermon falling on Mount Zion. God says, when we move together in unity, I command my blessings on it. That's who we are. And I woke up this morning and I said, I typed this out and I said, I'm preaching. I actually woke up this morning and said, God, invade my life. Invade every part of me. Invade my thoughts. Invade my life. Invade everything about me. Be in control. You are in control. Well, sometimes it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? No. No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense in the natural. It makes all the sense in the supernatural. Would you stand with me this morning? We believe.